Episode 173, Notes from Comic-Con and Other News.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono. We're back.
Back, Ben, with some notes from Comic-Con.
Yeah, we've only got a couple weeks before we kick off our top 50 countdown.
You're right, because you know,
hiatus is coming.
Well, they all know that.
Yeah.
We've pre-recorded so many episodes, you're not even going to know that we were gone. But yeah,
exactly,
we're going to be off the air for a good portion of
August. August, if not all of it. Well, I think there's like a small window between when you get back in town and I leave town.
I'm not going to edit this out, but I'm hearing a little static in my headphones. Are you hearing that at all?
Well, let's check.
Okay.
I'm static free.
Okay. I'm just going to assume that's okay. Right before we start recording, I pulled a cord on accident when I was rearranging my chair. Big sound happened.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is working. Well, hi, everybody. Yes, Comic-Con was last weekend. As we record this, it's Tuesday. Comic-Con started last Thursday. Actually, I think they had preview night on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tons of news. My favorite news is news that proves that Matt is right.
Matt is right.
Matt is right about movies.
He doesn't have a song, though.
I know. I would need a song. I don't know where...
You're responsible for your own egotistic songs. That's the way that this works. I mean, I feed my ego, but I put the work into it, so... it works.
Everything I've ever said has come true.
Everything.
So, I've told you guys for months now that the next...
Are we going to hit the music first?
You're right.
Sci-fi news?
You're right.
Yeah, I know. Ben is right.
Matt is right.
Ben is right. I won't play my music now because I'll get to it later.
I need a listener to put together a Matt is right
song. No. Listeners, don't do it.
Yeah, do
it. If Matt wants a song, you are capable.
I am capable. However, I'm getting married. And as my wedding present, listeners, I'd like... Yes.
I think if you want a song to stroke your ego, you got to do it yourself.
I'm not like Ben DiBono, folks. Listeners, I'm willing to play your very own Matt
My
is Right song.
My arrogance is self-made. It's homemade, everyone.
So if you're out
Don't
there listening.
Outsource it.
So just now, a few seconds ago, you got some good clips of Ben saying Matt is right. You heard me saying Matt is right.
Yeah.
What should my line be when you say, get in line because it's apology time?
No.
Well, earlier today, I said, everything I've said is right. I think that's pretty good. So, folks. Go listen to some past episodes. Listen to this episode. Find the best lines to make your very own Matt is Right song. And what background music do you use for your song, Ben?
I'm not telling you.
I'll find out, and then we'll get back to you. So keep listening. And so like I said...
It's copyright me.
For my wedding present...
That's not actually true.
For my wedding present, folks, if you'd like to let me know that you care, send me at matt@thescifichristian.com my very own Matt is Right theme song. Ready?
That's not going to happen.
Here we go.
It's time for Sci-Fi News.
Now, earlier this week, you told me that you were quite excited about all the news from Comic-Con because there were some things you were for and some things you were against.
Yeah, some things I was baffled by.
Yeah.
And
so that's going to be interesting as we... get into it.
Yeah, so the first news that I just couldn't be more excited about is the fact that for months I've been speculating that the next superhero movie, the group movie, wouldn't be a Justice League, but in fact it would be a Batman Superman team up movie. And
you got it.
Just say it.
You did it.
Say the words.
You were really good at prognosticating this event.
Matt was right.
I'm not going to give you any more sound clips than you already have.
So, it's happening. The next movie coming out in 2015 is going to be either called Superman versus Batman or Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
You don't like the versus part?
I don't.
You just think it's just be straight slash?
No. I mean, I don't know what the title should be, but... Superman versus Batman. All right, we'll get to that because I have a few pros and cons about this.
Well, let's just talk about it right now because this would have been our top news of the day, but for two reasons. Number one, people have been complaining that we've been talking about too many superhero-y things.
Yeah.
So we're trying to trick you by just saying Comic-Con news.
Yeah.
You've been fooled. Secondly,
It isn't. Come on, people. I mean, we've heard you, and we're trying to respond, but we got to talk about this.
Yeah, half the time it's Comic Con. Exactly, Comic Con is appealing. People want to know what's been happening, yeah. So we'll have other Comic-Con-y news. Yeah. But this is just so awesome because Matt is right. Matt was right. Matt has always been right.
Sure.
So, like I said, Superman, Batman. I guess I'd probably prefer if it was called Batman, Superman, or Superman, Batman, just like with a slash between. I don't think the verses needs to be there because we all know they're going to team up eventually. So, tell me why you hate the verses part.
Well, I mean, I was just jotting down a few pros and cons. Can I give you my pros first, what I like about this?
Yeah.
Pros are that this avoids the Amazing Spider-Man trap by introducing Batman back into continuity with the movies in a non-origin story way. So where Amazing Spider-Man, rightly or wrongly, got a lot of flack even before it was released, that didn't we just do this? I think that doing a Batman origin story in the next couple of years would feel the same way.
And to be fair, the Amazing Spider-Man did follow a lot of the same origin story points that 2002's Spider-Man had.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I say maybe wrongly is I think the issues I had with that movie wasn't the fact that it was a reboot, but certainly people get sick of reboots. So this is, we're bringing back Batman, but without a reboot. Second, it places Batman sufficiently distanced from the Nolan universe. So right away, first time we see Batman, he's going to be in a movie with another DC, another DC character, but another character like Superman who couldn't have existed in the Nolanverse.
Yes.
So you
like those aspects.
Absolutely. And also, you know, another thing they get by doing it this way is that they don't feel like they're remaking Batman Begins, which I think is now kind of the definitive, at least for now, or as definitive as it can be, movie origin story. So they're in good shape there. And then finally, that they're going to use Dark Knight Returns as inspiration. I think all those have me very excited.
Yeah, so we know that they're using Dark Knight Returns as the inspiration because the way they came out and announced it is they had the actor that was in Dollhouse and then in Matrix Reloaded and then also in Superman. He played the General.
Zod?
No, not General Zod. The, like, American
General.
Oh,
yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I feel like his real name is, like...
Henry Lennox.
Henry Lennox, yes. Yeah. So he came out and read a quote, and big-time fans knew, this is a quote that Batman says to Superman in Dark Knight Returns, which I've not read yet.
Yeah. You should.
I know, I should. And so, that's crazy. So, sounds like they are treating this Batman-Superman movie as a Superman sequel, or Man of Steel sequel. So, it's got Amy Adams... Got Lawrence Fishburne, Henry Lennox, of course, Henry Cavill.
I think it's Cavill.
Yeah, whatever. So,
well, we can go with Cavill if you want.
No, let's not. Let's do Cavill. So yeah, so it has most of the Man of Steel cast, and then they're just throwing in Batman.
Yeah. But here's where we get to my cons, and I think you're going to be surprised by this first one.
Okay.
Maybe the biggest worry I have of this is that Batman's going to overshadow Superman in a pretty big way. If maybe not in the actual movie, but for sure leading up to the movie, that's what people are going to be talking about, is how are they going to bring back Batman? How is this going to compare to Nolan? That's what the press is going to be. So, I mean, I thought Man of Steel was good enough where it deserves its own sequel and it deserves Superman to be able to not just exist under Batman's shadow. So you could almost look at this as, was Man of Steel yet another failure to launch Superman in its own franchise?
Oh, because it's not really launching Superman, it's launching these group movies?
The group movies, or maybe even worse, if you're a Superman fan, it's launching Batman.
Interesting. Yeah. I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah, it is surprising that you care about that because you don't even like Superman.
Yeah, but I like the take on Superman a lot in Man of Steel, at least in the first half of the movie. And I would like to see more of that type of movie making with Superman. And I thought Zack Snyder and David Goyer did a good job of digging into the character's psychology and developing this character in a meaningful way. So that I'd like to see. And my concern is that even in the movie, he's going to get overshadowed by Batman. And I don't think that's a good thing.
I think it's sad for Superman, but impossible. Everybody loves Batman. It's going to be great to see. And don't they have to let Batman win?
Oh, totally.
And so he's going to beat Superman.
Exactly. So, and I guess what I'm saying isn't that I don't want this movie, because I think this is going to be a cool movie. And yeah. I'm definitely for it. Okay.
All right.
But I would like to have a Man of Steel sequel. This isn't a Man of Steel sequel, despite what they're saying.
Yes. And so, you know that they've released a timeline of the upcoming movies after that?
No.
Oh, this is going to be interesting for you then. Listen to this. So, 2015, Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
2016, what do you think's next?
Green Lantern. Aquaman.
You're close in the sense that it is a single character, but neither of the two you just said. One more guess.
Flash.
Flash, correct. Okay. 2016 is going to be Flash. And then 2017, 2 years after Batman, Superman.
Justice League.
Justice League. So all the rumors we hear about Wonder Woman, Aquaman, not happening. It's going to be Flash, then Justice League. So, yep. What do you think?
I think I like this approach. We'll see how it goes. I like things about this better than I do what Marvel did. But it could fall into the same pitfalls of Marvel, where the project as a whole is cooler than the project in its individual parts.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of Green Lantern being in the Justice League movie.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a weird statement. I guess I don't mind. I don't love Ryan Reynolds. I should say that. But I guess I don't mind if he's in Justice League, because...
Oh, no. There's no way that Ryan Reynolds will be playing...
So you do not think so?
Not a chance. That movie was so bad. And especially if Nolan and Goyer and Snyder are kind of their go-to guys, this is a fresh start for DC.
Okay. That makes sense. Fresh start. Yeah. Because I want Green Lantern. I want it to be Hal Jordan. I guess I just don't know how they're going to have a new... actor play Hal Jordan just a few years later, but I guess they did it with Hulk and that worked out fine.
Well, there'll be less time between Dark Knight Rises and this Superman Batman movie than there will be between the old Green Lantern and Justice League.
That's a really good point. Good.
So two more cons.
Okay.
That, and this I thought of before I heard the title, okay? Or the potential title, anyway.
Okay.
This movie could fall into the Freddy versus Jason trap, where it's just the excitement of the movie is just two characters duking it out rather than actually having a good story and good characters and all that. I'm not saying it will. I have faith that it won't, but that's a big danger this movie could fall
especially
into.
Especially adding verses into the title.
Exactly. So that made me much more nervous.
Warner Brothers has owned the domains, both of these, SupermanVsBatman.com and BatmanVsSuperman.com since the year 2001.
Oh, well, yeah, because they talked about doing this movie a long time ago.
Yeah.
So now it's finally coming true.
Finally happening. What's your last one?
I just have doubts about whether or not Zack Snyder can pull it off. You know, the first half of Man of Steel was so good, and the second half really put me to sleep. You know, the CGI fight scenes, as we've talked about, were just so over the top and didn't connect on any level. So... the verdict for Man of Steel is really inconclusive on whether or not Zack Snyder's the right person to do this.
Well, I mean, I guess there's no guaranteeing that he's going to be the guy that takes it all the way through.
Well, I'm talking just about Superman, Batman.
Okay.
Because he is going to be the director of that.
Well, he's the one that came out on stage and announced it with Henry Lennox, so...
It would be pretty shocking if he doesn't direct
it. So sweet to see the logo, though. Yeah. Like, I feel like this was the single biggest announcement that came out of Comic-Con, as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely.
Just seeing that logo with the Batman-Superman symbol together.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. There was some Marvel news that I felt like was less exciting.
Yeah. Does that mean you're against it?
Well, let's talk about it, and then I'll tell you how I feel.
Okay.
Joss Whedon came out, and he announced the subtitle for The Avengers 2, which is going to just be called The Avengers... Age of Ultron.
Bad title.
Now, do you know anything about the character Ultron?
I don't.
I'm going to give you a little bit of synopsis. I don't think they're going to do this with the movie, so that's why I don't feel like this is a spoiler. In the comics, Hank Pym, who is Ant-Man, creates a robot for good. It's an AI, and of course, it eventually turns bad, and Ultron is one of the Avengers' foremost villains over the years. So it is a huge character. Here's the problems with this, and this... I'm baffled by the fact that they're naming it this in a negative way. Like, I just, first of all, the Age of Ultron is a 2013, so this year, a storyline that just wrapped up that has to do with time travel and the universe splitting it apart and crossing into other Marvel universes. And it's really based on the history of Avengers, so you have to know where Ultron came from.
Right.
All these heroes are going all over the place, and some of the main characters in the story are characters that Marvel Studios doesn't own, like Wolverine and Sue Storm. Those two characters are pivotal in the Age of Ultron recent comic storyline.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they don't need to bring over the exact storyline and place it into the movie. But with that being said, then why would they even name this movie Age of Ultron? Because people are going to be misled. They're going to see, oh my gosh, Age of Ultron is coming out in paperback. I need to pick it up and so I can, you know, check it out and get ready for the movie. It's going to have nothing to do with the movie at all.
Well, that's what the hardcore fans are going to say.
Yeah.
For people, you know, for my, like somebody like me,
yeah,
I know more about comics than a non-comic reader. Yeah. I know less about comics than a regular comic reader. And I had no clue. I'd heard the title like once maybe, but I had no clue who Ultron was. And so casual fans or non-comic readers are going to be completely baffled by this title.
Okay. Secondly, yes, Age of Ultron. Adding in the Age of is something that Marvel has done over the years. I think it probably started in the 90s with Age of Apocalypse, a huge X-Men storyline. And so then they've had Age of X. They have Age of Ultron. They have another one coming out called Age of the Atom. ATOM.
Yeah.
So this is kind of in Marvel fandom, it's a well-known phrase, but it doesn't work to call this the Age of Ultron because the idea in that storyline is that Ultron had taken over and he was running things. And you said, you know, Age of Apocalypse, Apocalypse had taken over, he was running things. This movie is not going to be about Ultron taking over the world and the Avengers having to fight back. It's going to be Ultron's origin story. So it's not, I don't know. I just feel like everything about this title is bad. They're not going to be able to, from what I've heard, Joss Whedon has said, Hank Pym, that character is not going to be in Avengers 2. He won't appear until Ant-Man. So that means they're going to have to change the story. And I don't really feel that strong about this, but they'll have to change it so that Tony Stark is likely the creator of Ultron.
Yeah.
In fact, did you see the promo for Age of Ultron?
No.
It shows Tony Stark's mask, the Iron Man mask, spinning around, and it starts to manipulate, and it becomes the face of Ultron. So I think it'll be kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of a similar story where the AI, he makes it for good and it turns bad. And then, I don't know. So I feel let down by this title.
Oh, definitely.
What would you rather it was called?
I don't know. Avengers 2.
I mean, if it was going to have Ultron in it, could it be The Rise of Ultron? Yeah. No, there was a Rise of the Silver Surfer, which didn't do well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt really bad about this.
I guess what baffled me is once I Googled this and realized Ultron was a villain. What about, was it Galactus at the end of?
Oh, that's a great point.
Of Avengers?
No, not Galactus. It was Thanos.
Thanos.
Yeah, you're totally right. They've been setting up this idea that Thanos was going to be in Avengers 2. Yeah. That they had him be at the end teaser. They've had, and I don't know if you know this, but some of the characters are going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. A lot of the characters are wrapped up in Thanos' story.
Yeah.
And so it just felt like they were really gearing up for that to be the big climax to getting to Avengers 2 with Thanos as the main bad guy.
Right.
And so now all of a sudden they throw this at us that Ultron is the bad guy. It feels like, are you really going to push Thanos to be the villain in Avengers 3? And then, let's see, this is going to be 2015. So let's say Avengers 3 can come out by 2018. So that means you would have made people wait 6 years for this little teaser that you gave at the end of Avengers 1?
Yeah, or the other danger... And this isn't something that will necessarily go bad, but more often than not it does, is that you overstuff your movie with villains. And when a movie like this that already has a gajillion heroes in it, I just don't think you can pull off having two major villains like that.
I really don't see Thanos being in it. If it's called Age of Ultron, and they don't, those two don't necessarily have anything to do with each other, I think we're looking at an Ultron movie.
Yeah, that was part of what baffled me.
Yeah.
And not that I'm terribly invested in either of these characters. I really don't know much about Thanos or Ultron, so I don't have a dog or a horse in this race, you know? But for me, it was just like, wait, you set this up and now you're doing something else. It's just confusing from a casual fan perspective.
Yeah, I agree. So I was anti this title. I'm still for Avengers.
Right, right.
Just yeah, I don't.
Neither of us is saying that this is going to be a bad movie. We're saying we don't like the title.
And who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll turn out fine. But for now, the announcement was not... I mean, when you look at everything that came out of Comic-Con, Superman, Batman, so awesome. Age of Ultron, like, what? That, first of all, the storyline sucked in comics, from what I've heard. It kind of ended in a way that people were confused by. And now, I wish this wasn't happening. Furthermore, Joss Whedon has said that Agent Coulson probably won't be in Avengers 2.
Oh.
I think that what they'll do is they'll have Coulson exist in the TV world.
Yeah.
So that does share a universe. But in the movies, they'll still just pretend like he really did die.
Yeah.
What do you think? Are you going to check out S.H.I.E.L.D. when it comes out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm more hopeful for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. than I am for any other Marvel property because I think that, you know, obviously my criticism has been these movies are pretty surface level. But if you have a TV show, you can only ride on the surface like that for so long because mm-hmm. you're A, going to run out of budget, and B, you got to find something to do week after week. And so I have faith, especially I don't know how involved Joss Whedon is going to be, but I'm hopeful that he'll be able to push this into deeper territory than what we've seen in the movies. So I'm more optimistic about this than anything else in the Marvel universe right now.
They did announce the debut date. The premiere for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be September 24th.
They've screened it at Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's getting good reviews.
Really? Because what I read was pretty tepid on it.
No, I heard it was well received.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that doesn't tell us a ton because that's if you can't get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. well received at the Comic-Con audience, you have a disaster on your hands.
All right. What do you got for your next piece of news?
Well, maybe we should stick with Marvel for a bit. Karen Gillan shaved her head. What? You know what? Hang on.
What?
This should be What the Frodo.
Okay.
I have a couple What the Frodos.
Karen Gillan, it was announced that she was at Comic-Con that she's going to be playing Nebula.
Yeah.
What the Frodo is this? What the Frodo?
You thinking, man?
The Frodo.
What's going on?
Frodo! What the Frodo?
And Nebula is apparently bald, is my understanding.
Yeah, you know, I don't know this character, but let me bring up a screenshot of her and see if I can tell you what she looks like. Nope, there's no picture here on Wikipedia, but she's an alien supervillain. I had thought that she had... Now, this could be wrong, so don't hold me to this. I think she might be Thanos' daughter or at least some sort of partner to him in some way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find some evidence of what her relationship is to him. Anyways, she's definitely connected to Thanos in some way. So, yeah, this... What do you think about her shaving her head?
Not good. I'm against it. She was a good-looking individual.
I don't mind that she shaved her head. Lots of actresses have shaved their head for her roles.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm not against it.
I'm against it.
All right, what else you
she's
got?
She's way... Like, watch Doctor Who, season 5. She's so hot in that. She's quite a good looker.
Stop.
You don't have to edit that out.
Okay, as long as you keep it...
Yeah, that's all I was going to say, is that she's good-looking.
Okay.
And now she's less good-looking.
All right, fine.
And I don't approve.
What other Marvel news do you have?
So, Joss Whedon made some very What the Frodo-esque comments about pop culture. And they're What the Frodo... Well, I'll just read it and then I'll explain, because it's not that I disagree. It's just coming from him, they're very odd. He says, "I do feel we are in desperate need of new content. Pop culture is eating itself at a rate that is going to be dangerous. Too many narratives are built on the resonance of recognition. That's going to become really problematic. Even though it's enormous fun to work on something I read as a child, I think it's important for us to step back from that and create new universes, new messages, and new icons so that 10 years from now we can reboot those."
Hmm?
Basically, he's saying that, you know, rehashing old stuff isn't good for pop culture, and that just making movies that are their big selling point is you finally get to see these characters in action together. You know, that's what I think he means by resonance of recognition, is also not good for pop culture. And I mostly, not entirely, I mostly agree with him, but what's baffling to me is that he's like the number one offender of this right now. I mean, he made a movie in Avengers where its primary selling point, and again, I'm not saying it's a bad movie, but its primary selling point was we get to finally see the Avengers in screen, which is exactly what he's saying is a problem. There wasn't depth beyond that.
Do you think he's trying to quietly say, "Hey, guys, I know that some of you didn't like what I did, and I'm with you, but just stick with me"?
You know what I think he is trying to say? I think he's been listening to the Sci-Fi Christian. He's heard me railing against him. Joss Whedon abandoned his principles. He went, "Oh, my gosh. Ben is right.
Ben is right.
I am right."
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me, get in line, because it's apology time.
I can't wait until a nice listener out there comes along and says, "I need a Matt is Right song for Matt for his wedding present." Thank you, listener, whoever you are. I really appreciate you.
So what do you think of that Joss Whedon quote?
Yeah, it seems a little odd. I don't know. I do kind of feel like, even though I said it a little jokingly, I wonder if he kind of recognizes he hasn't stuck with all of the things he used to believe in in storytelling. Right. And so he's quietly trying to still say, I still believe it. I'm just also doing some other things as well.
And hopefully, I mean, at least it makes me more hopeful that maybe Avengers 2 will be more of what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. I do get the feeling, yeah. We didn't like Iron Man 3, but I do get the feeling that each of these movies, Captain America, Thor, are going to be their own thing.
Yeah.
And that Avengers 2 will bring everybody back together. But we've already spent phase one building towards Avengers, and so they don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
People will automatically come back to Avengers. So, like, if you just look at Winter Soldier and Dark World, those look like individual stories that they can tell in one movie. I think phase two is going to have a much better set of movies, even though I don't think Iron Man 3 was evidence of that.
We'll see. We'll see. I think the only part here that I really disagree, at least mildly disagree with him on, is that I don't think it's so much new characters versus old characters. It's just do good things with those characters. Tell good stories. Tell deep stories. So as much as I like new characters and everything, I don't think that's the issue so much. But I do think he's right that narratives built on the resonance of recognition. I think he's dead on with that mm-hmm. sentiment.
You had said earlier you wanted to come back to Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
He had a very bad week.
Well, hang on. What? Hang on.
Oh, you have another song for this?
I do. I just... Oh, here it is.
Encouraging signs. Encouraging signs.
We need to issue a disclaimer.
What?
Because we don't want anyone to be upset.
What?
Neither of us is saying... Because neither of us has seen either of the movies that bombed.
No.
So neither of us is saying... This is an encouraging sign because these are bad movies. We haven't seen them. This is an encouraging sign because Ryan Reynolds is an obnoxious actor who I do not care for one bit, and it gave me great pleasure to see him bomb not once but twice in one weekend.
Whoa, wait. So the other one was Turbo?
Turbo, yeah.
Okay, because the one I wanted to talk about was this movie who, like, I mean, since day one, I've known it looked horrible.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my gosh, this is probably going to do well.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm just issuing the disclaimer to say, okay, don't get upset at us. So we're not reviewing it. Everybody stay calm.
I didn't see R.I.P.D.
No.
But it looked so bad.
Absolutely terrible.
And it didn't even make it into the top five movies of the week. It only grossed, so this is a big budget film.
Yeah.
Lots of special effects based on a comic book. It only grossed $4.8 million on opening day.
Ouch.
I was actually going to talk about a second movie that was also based on a comic book, Red.
Oh, yeah, that did bad.
Red 2 got fifth place and made only $6.3 million on opening day. Do you have the numbers for Turbo?
No, I think it was number 3 or 4.
Okay.
So it did better.
Turbo looked kind of good.
I'm not saying it was bad.
As animated films go, I kind of like animated films. I think Turbo looks okay. I'll see it.
It might be. I mean, I would see that before I'd see RIPD. I'm just, the encouraging sign is Ryan Reynolds' career going down the drain.
Okay.
Which is mean, and I understand that. I have nothing against him as an individual.
Wait, these were both comic book movies. Are you saying you hate superhero movies?
That must be what I'm saying. That must be it. I mean, that's the only logical inference from what we just said, Matt, is that we hate superhero movies, and we're obviously reviewing movies we haven't seen, right?
Encouraging signs.
That was sarcasm. Just little cliff notes for everyone.
Since we talked about Ryan Reynolds and he was in Green Lantern, I do have some actual comic news. Now, I don't read the Green Lantern comics, but I thought this was noteworthy. DC Comics has announced kind of some upcoming storylines, and this is not 100% confirmed, but it looks like, you know how Earth has its own Green Lantern, so there's a whole Green Lantern core, but Earth gets a human Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Looks like the first ever female Green Lantern might be coming to comics soon.
How about that?
Earthling female. There's already other female Green Lanterns. So are you for it or against it?
Well, I'll defer to the Green Lantern fans out there since I don't read Green Lantern. So if they're happy, I'm happy.
Yes, nice. Good. All right, I'll take your next piece of news.
Well, we'll stick with comics but move away from superheroes. Terminator is continuing in comic form with J. Michael Straczynski penning a continuation of Terminator Salvation.
I like it. And if you don't know this this writer, he did Spider-Man and he also did Babylon 5.
Yeah. So he's definitely got some credentials under his belt. I'm not familiar enough with his work to say whether or not they are worthy credentials. But I've got no reason to doubt that he's a good guy.
You know, I'd already heard, and I've talked about this in the show, that they released because the movie franchise got dropped and they weren't going to continue with this originally planned trilogy, they had already released the planned stories in novelization.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if they're going, I don't know, are they going to go to those and then try to make them in the comics?
Who knows?
I don't know either. Firefly. Do you have video game?
Yeah. I don't have a sound clip, but should we sing something?
Nah.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Video games.
Smash.
Yeah, that was... That's a good song.
So, Firefly is coming back to life, and this time, it's in video game form.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. How do you feel about this?
I don't like video games, so I'm against it.
I do like... You do like video. We've played a lot of video games lately.
In general, as a rule.
I understand.
So, I'm against it. I'd rather... Actually, I've been thinking more and more that I don't even want Firefly to come back at all.
I think you're probably right.
And Arrested Development was part of that, and just really... seeing that you really want something and when it comes back it doesn't live up to your expectations.
All right.
I don't want that to happen to Firefly. So yeah. I'm fine with the fact that it existed for its time period and it can't be good again.
Yeah.
Unless they make a movie. I don't want a TV show though.
Yeah, I think you're right. I hate that you're right, but
Matt is right.
I think that you have some solid points.
Matt is right.
I got to catch myself. I got to stop giving you sound clips.
Those are some great clips right there, folks.
I hate that you're right. That'd be a good one. I'll give you that one. I hate that you're right.
All right. Good.
Here, we'll have a little silence so whoever edits can grab it.
Yeah. Say it again.
I hate that you're right.
Matt is right.
I hate that you're right.
This is so bad.
People love it. And if they don't, they shouldn't listen to us because this is what we do.
Oh, we got to come back to that and listener feedback.
Oh, yeah.
We have a listener who you actually said that to, and they unsubscribed. So stay tuned. Listener feedback is going to be great today.
I do like video games, but I don't think I am for this. I'll maybe check it out, but I don't really want to see Firefly or the Firefly universe get video game-ized.
You know, I'm going to change subjects unless you want to say more about
that. We got more video game news.
Okay, continue.
I'm pretty familiar with Batman's Rogues Gallery, even as a guy who hasn't read tons and tons of the comics, mm-hmm. even the more minor characters. But I have never heard of this villain who just got added to the Arkham Origins villain
test
roster.
Me. I don't know who it is. Test me.
Copperhead.
Is that a snake villain?
I have no idea. But apparently she...
She? No, I don't know her.
No clue. She's a Batman villain. She's going to be in Arkham Origins.
Interesting. No, I don't know that person.
And then Far Cry 4, the sequel to Far Cry 3, has been confirmed. I have not played any of them. Okay. But if you're a Far Cry fan, congratulations.
Are you going to check it out and review it on the Sci-Fi Christian YouTube page?
Maybe. I'll probably play the first ones first, and if I like them... Sure.
Hey, thanks for your continuing reviews on the YouTube page.
Thank you, sir.
It's been going well.
Speaking of my Dance with Dragons review, just passed 15,000 this last week.
What? That's our biggest one, right?
That is our biggest one.
Nice work. All right. I want to talk about some cartoons.
Okay.
Two I don't watch, but I'm still interested in this news. Have you heard about this?
No.
I don't. Maybe. I don't watch Family Guy.
Nope.
I don't watch The Simpsons.
Nope.
But they're doing a crossover episode next year.
Yeah, I mean, Simpsons is at, like, what, season 100?
No,
so
I think they're between 20 and 25. I don't know where,
yeah.
though.
So they have to do something to generate interest.
I am intrigued by this idea.
I'd be intrigued if I liked either show, but the very little of Family Guy I've seen hasn't appealed to me at all, and Simpsons I don't care for.
Chronicle is getting a sequel. But it's moving forward without the original writer, Max Landis. I know, not good.
I'm against it.
I'm against it, too.
Don't do the sequel if that's what you're going to do.
And another piece of news that you'll like.
Yeah.
Abrams, had J.J. Abrams, that is, had a fantasy series coming out called Believe. And they've already lost their showrunner.
I thought that was Almost Human that lost the showrunner.
No.
It's the one he's doing
both.
With...
I think it's both, maybe.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, I don't know if it's both.
It's the one he's doing with Alfonso Cuarón.
That one is called Believe.
Okay.
And that one lost its showrunner. And I don't know. I don't know who the showrunner is, but the same thing happened with Alcatraz.
That's not good.
It had Jane Espenson, who was with Buffy,
yeah.
right?
Yep, and it? Firefly.
Yeah. Well, she was working
on... And Battlestar.
What? Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder what would have happened if she would have stayed on Alcatraz.
Who knows?
But anyways, Believe, already off to a bad start. So we'll see how that hangs
out. Yeah, that's not a good sign. Though maybe it will be like Walking Dead and just lose showrunners every other week and keep going anyway.
But you don't like that about Walking
Dead. No, but apparently that show's managed to make it work. So,
well, speaking of new writers, Star Trek 3 is possibly hiring the writers of Thor.
Yeah, which I don't hold against them because they also wrote X-Men First Class. So I think they're a better choice than Orky and Kurtzman or whoever it was.
I think they'll still be around, but ooh, yeah.
And our buddy Damon, who might not be as good as we think he is.
Yeah, Damon Lindelof, I'll miss him, but I'd like to, he's going to be busy with his HBO series, yeah. And I'm still hoping that him and Carlton Cuse come back together for another great epic. So I don't mind.
You make it sound like your parents got divorced and you're praying every night that they'll find love again with each other.
I'm praying that Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof will come back together for another show in my lifetime.
Next, I just have no response to
The first casting news. Oh, well, I guess you know what that means.
A slew of casting news.
A slew of casting news.
An actor who we like has been added to Ron Moore's sci-fi series Helix. Do you know who it is?
No.
Billy Campbell, the Rocketeer.
Oh, yeah. I did read about this. Did you know that when season 4 of Battlestar was going on, he was doing 4400?
Yeah.
And he had said at one point, this was towards the beginning of season 4, Ron Moore, I love Battlestar so much. Please cast me in a role and I'll do it for free. And it didn't happen.
What?
And that's just incomprehensible.
What happened? I mean, why didn't...
He just made the offer publicly and nothing ever came of it. But it was like, I remember reading that thinking, oh my gosh, this has to happen. He's such a good actor.
Yeah, he is good.
Yeah.
I want to finish 4400 because I never finished it.
Yeah, it's not a great show, but it's a good show.
Do you remember, did it end... Well, let's wait to talk about this because this will be appearing on some of our countdown episodes
okay.
that we're going to be pre-recording tonight.
Yeah.
And so be ready to talk about the 4400.
I will be.
All right. Other casting news. Former Lost star Naveen Andrews, who played Saeed, has been cast in the Once Upon a Time spinoff, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
Yeah, that's Aladdin. Or Jafar, isn't he? Yeah, he's Jafar.
Are you positive?
I'm positive.
He is Jafar. Yep. Yeah. That's cool. I didn't know that he was Jafar. I just found that out live on the air.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like it. Also, you haven't been watching Under the Dome.
But... I have been watching the Dome. Okay. Yeah, I haven't watched this week's yet, but I have watched all four episodes. Not a good show.
I watched the first two episodes and I was intrigued. I haven't watched...
It takes a major drop off in the next two.
Okay. Well, I liked it. So the main girl... In that show, her real name is Britt Robertson.
Yeah.
She's the one who's married to the doctor, you may remember.
No. She's not married to the... She's the one who's chained up in the Quonset hut.
That's not it, is it?
It's totally it.
Do you know what a news is?
Yeah, she was cast in something. But she's the one who, in Under the Dome, is chained up by the crazy guy who just turned crazy with absolutely no motivation or
in
character
book,
development.
In the book, is the development into his craziness better?
Not that I remember, but I really hated the book.
I don't think you're right about this. I'm going to load up her picture.
It's totally her.
Well, anyways.
I've looked.
The actress that we're talking about. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so it's a girl that's chained up. She has been cast.
What was that?
Ben is right.
Yeah, I'll stop it because we're going to come back to it later in listener feedback.
Okay, so yeah, you're right. It's the girl that's chained up downstairs. She's been cast in Damon Lindelof's Tomorrowland. Directed by Brad Bird, starring opposite George Clooney. Wow, that's interesting. What do you think about that?
Well, hopefully it turns out to be a good show, you know, or a good movie. I don't know. I'm not really that excited about Tomorrowland.
And finally, in slew of casting news, Topher Grace, who you may know
that's
from
not finally.
Oh well, who you may know from such great shows as That 70s Show or his perfect
Dollhouse.
He wasn't in Dollhouse.
Topher was the character.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Topher Grace played Venom perfectly in Spider-Man 3.
Did he?
No.
I'd only seen it once. So I was, well, if you say so.
No. Early reports are that he's going to be in Christopher Nolan's Interstellar.
Okay, I'm for it.
I'm for it. All right, what's your next casting news?
Mark Gatiss, who you know as Mycroft Holmes in Sherlock,
yes,
has been cast in Game of Thrones for season 4. No word yet on who he is playing.
Do you have any guesses that you want to throw out there for the audience?
Mace Tyrell would be maybe the most obvious choice from what I've read. I don't know. We'll see. There's a few possibilities.
All right, Ben, for Take That Science, you can have either a guy on Craigslist is selling a time machine, or politician admits to having an affair and love child with an alien.
Let's do the love child with the alien.
Take that, science!
Kids, cover your ears.
On today's Take That, Science, a politician has admitted to having an affair and love child with an alien. Simon Parkes and the British city councilman who represents the people of Whitby has come out with this news. According to him, he's also something else. He's an alien abductee many times over. In a recent TV documentary called Confessions of an Alien Abductee, Parks confirms a number of his beliefs. He says he's abducted on average about four times a year, and plenty of other people have experienced the same, but most of all of the trips are physical in nature. That's not the word they use in this article, but for the kids, we'll keep it clean. And
like arm wrestling.
And who or what was Parks talking with? A 9-foot tall green alien with 8 fingers he calls Cat Mother.
Is this guy still elected?
Not only were the
he needs to be voted out.
Okay, so I'm gonna actually censor what this article is saying about it, because they tell some jokes. But basically, yep, they had an interspecies baby. Parks says that he and Cat Mother have named the baby Zarka.
Oh, well, that's original.
Can I ask a question? If you get abducted four times a year, you know, after the second or third, you kind of think this is going to happen again. Don't you start carrying some kind of video recording device on your person at all times so you can prove this? I mean, he could solve the ET debate once and for all.
I believe him. No, I don't believe him. But it doesn't go on to say, though, if he cares for his child, Zarka, or that if it was...
He's kind of a deadbeat dad who only goes up four times a year.
Wow.
What a loser.
I know. But on the other hand, he does see his baby more than my dad saw me when I was growing up. So take that, science.
Take that, science.
Ouch.
All right. Next piece of news.
Are you familiar with fantasy author Joe Abercrombie?
That sounds really familiar.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
What has he wrote?
First Law trilogy.
Nope.
Okay. He just sold a new fantasy series, which will be his first not set in the First Law universe. So that'll be quite exciting.
I'm really excited. How many books are there in the First Law universe?
Well, there's the trilogy, and then I think there's three others that he's written.
Wow, and they're all good? All worth reading?
I haven't kept up in the last couple, but yeah, they're very good.
Good. How many pieces of news do you have left? I only have one.
I have... two.
Take one, and I'll do Stan Lee, and then I'll do my last one. Or unless one of yours is really good last news of the day.
I have a good last news of the day.
I don't know what we should do then. Let's just do Stan Lee.
Okay.
I'm confused.
It's the Stan Lee quote of the week. Bing!
This Stan Lee quote of the week was brought to you by Ben Avery of the Strangers and Aliens podcast. You could also listen to Ben Avery at WelcomeToLevel7.com with our friend Daniel Butcher. They have created a new podcast called Welcome to Level 7.
Technically, we created it with Strangers and Aliens.
Welcome to Level 7 will be covering all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, as well as the upcoming Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. So follow them at WelcomeToLevel7.com.
And you should. It's a good podcast.
It is a good podcast. My favorite podcast right now. Here is, so it's a question and answer with this website. The question to Stanley was, I love the Stan's Rants show on World of Heroes. So we cover that all the time. Do you have a Comic-Con rant? So here it goes, Stanley.
Okay.
I haven't thought through one yet, but the one thing that drives me crazy is seeing those poor people.
I like how he goes from I haven't thought through one to instantly ranting.
But the one thing that drives me crazy is seeing those poor people waiting in line for hours either to get into Comic-Con or to get to what they want to see. I think it's terrible. There should be a better way to accommodate these people who are such great fans, and they're treated like sheep. You stay there for 2 hours, and eventually your line will get in here. That's right. Now, that's not a funny rant, but it's a real rant.
Stan, it's right.
And he says, and then the question, or the interviewer asks, any panels that you would stand in line to see? He says, I would never wait that long. No, I wouldn't wait that long to see me, and I'm my own biggest fan.
Wow. Well, he really means it if he says that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's why I don't think I ever really want to go to Comic-Con.
I do want to go to Comic-Con. And if I did, I would stand in line for just one panel, just to make it worth it.
It's the Stan Lee quote of the week. Bing.
All right, as a refresher, I have one, you have one.
I have two.
Sorry, okay, so you go first, then I'll take mine, and then you take last news of the day, and then listener feedback, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah,
well, I shouldn't be hyping it up so much. It's actually kind of sad.
We have a two-part voicemail from a Superbook expert.
We got some serious listener feedback coming up. Okay, go ahead.
Sandman, Neil Gaiman's comic, DC movie executive, has expressed strong interest in making a Sandman movie.
They haven't had a good track record of making good Vertigo books.
Yeah.
So until I see Fables done well, I'm going to be against this.
Good Vertigo books into a movie, because they have a good track record of making Vertigo books.
Into a movie.
Yeah.
So until I see a good Fables movie, I'm not going to be a for Sandman movie.
I'm for it.
Okay. My next piece of news is related to 12 Monkeys. You like that movie, didn't you?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I liked it also. In fact, I put it on my wedding registry. And so, yes, they are looking on the Sci-Fi Channel to make it into an ongoing TV show.
Huh.
For it or against it?
Against it. Leave the movie alone.
I am for it, but if they modify the storyline.
From the makers of Sharknado comes the all-new 12 Monkeys series.
Did you hear that they're going to make a sequel to Sharknado?
Yes.
That's unusual.
Did you see the picture of the Sharknado cosplay at Comic-Con?
I haven't even seen the movie. I don't know anything about Sharknado.
You do. Okay. I haven't seen the movie either, but this is it. There's a tornado that has sharks in it.
How, though?
I think it starts in the ocean, picks up the sharks, and then heads inland. You know, that's the plot of the movie. It's supposed to be a terrible movie.
Are you for real?
That is the plot.
Hold on. Let me look this up.
I'm dead serious.
Okay, here we go. Sharknado, a 2013 made-for-television disaster film about a water spout that lifts sharks out of the ocean and deposits them in Los Angeles. I don't know.
See?
That's not a tornado that picks them out of the ocean. That would be sweet. That would be way cooler. If it's like a tornado that accidentally picks up sharks and they're just spinning around.
I think that's what it is.
It says, look at the poster.
Yeah.
Sharknado, enough said.
Exactly. Okay. I mean, it's a terrible movie, and that's not a criticism at this point. It's trying to be a terrible movie.
A freak hurricane hits Los Angeles. Spoilers possibly here, folks. causing man-eating sharks to be scooped up in water spouts and flooding the city with shark-infested seawater. Surfer and bar owner Finn sets out with his friends Baz and Nova to rescue his estranged wife, April, who is played by Tara Reid.
Oh, yeah.
And their teenage daughter, Claudia. Again, spoilers here if you don't want to watch the movie. I'll stop. And I won't read anymore. But, yeah, this does not sound good.
And there's a sequel coming.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so what were you going to say about Sharknado? How'd that come up?
You were talking about 12 Monkeys coming from the Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah. It's like, well, Sci-Fi Channel continues to send their credibility.
But they're doing it on purpose. You know that, right?
Well, yeah.
They're making these stupid movies.
I get it. Yeah, I do get it.
It's actually kind of a good idea. They're starting to become a hit. There's podcasts now that are covering all these really B-list movies.
I think they have one called Mansquito.
Wait a second. Do you want to watch Sharknado?
We should live blog it if we do.
How about this? This will be the ruling. If it shows up on Netflix for free, we watch it.
I've got Sci-Fi. I'll just DVR it. You come over.
Done. Sharknado review coming at you.
After your honeymoon.
Yeah. When I have more time on my hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Last news of the
day? Last news of the day.
All right.
Last news of the day. Following in the footsteps of George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire, Patrick Rothfuss's epic fantasy trilogy, The King Killer Chronicles, is coming to Fox as a TV show.
Oh, I don't like that Fox is doing it.
Yeah.
Almost any other channel would be better. No, not any. Any other cable channel would be better.
That's true. The only saving grace is that, you know, it's not like Game of Thrones in the sense where it doesn't need to have that big of a budget, and it doesn't necessarily need to be able to push the envelope in the way Game of Thrones does.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, it could be okay on network television. But yeah, Fox's track record with these types of shows is not good.
I'm moderately for it for your sake, because you sound excited.
Yeah, I love the first book and did not like the second one. And the third one is not out yet. So we will see.
Nice.
But I'm in favor of more sci-fi TV or fantasy novels being adapted into TV shows.
All right. I'm just going to cut to the chase and get to what we've been talking about, and then you can do your voicemails.
Okay.
But I just found out something today, right as we sat down to record,
yeah,
that I was really sad about. You could tell, right?
Yeah, why? I don't get why you were sad, to be honest with you.
All right, and so this was posted on our website publicly. This is not a private email.
Exactly.
So I feel comfortable reading it out loud.
Yeah.
Because this is a listener who I really like, Steve, who I've emailed with personally. I wouldn't say a number of times, but multiple times.
Yeah.
Our last episode was a little controversial, and I was super surprised. We had more negative feedback to this than anything we've ever done.
Everyone out there needs to take deep breaths.
Okay, let me just
stop taking everything we say seriously personally.
So the last episode we did was called "What Would We Change About the Comics Industry?"
Yeah.
And it was just us sitting down talking for fun. We're casual readers. Neither of us even follow comics on a monthly basis.
Exactly. It was a fun conversation.
It's supposed to be fun. Some things I've been thinking about. When we state our opinions for the sake of the show, we do state them strongly,
right.
But we don't necessarily feel strongly.
Right.
Okay. So, Ben, a lot of people are starting to catch on that you don't like superhero comic book movies.
I do. That's the problem, is that I like the genre. I just don't like how it's being executed.
Okay. So Steve writes, no, this is on our website on the comments section. He says, are we seriously supposed to listen to this every time the subject of a comic book movie comes up? Which is every second episode at the moment, which that's a fair assessment.
Sure.
The only way it would be bearable is if someone acted as a counterpoint to Ben. So I feel like I do to an extent. We agree on a lot of things, but I don't necessarily hate them
right. The
way you hate them.
Yeah, we have different opinions.
We have been bringing up, I think we should address this. We have been talking about superheroes a lot, and we're going to be moving away from that.
Right.
But the reason is simple. It's summertime. There tends to be a lot of superhero-y type things going on.
Exactly.
You and I are keeping up with the news. A lot of the biggest news is related to superheroes, so it's hard to avoid.
Exactly.
So it kind of keeps on the forefront of the brain, so I think through things. And when I think about things, I want to turn them into an episode so we can have a conversation. Thus, you get an episode like last week.
Right. Okay.
Ben. Ben. Okay.
Well, I stand by everything I said.
Okay. So then Ben DeBono responds directly to Steve, probably a little stronger than I would.
You don't respond strong at all, so that's fair.
So after reading what Steve wrote, Ben DeBono writes, there are plenty of podcasts that are largely uncritical of superhero movies. This one isn't. You're free to not listen, or you could actually reply with an intelligent rebuttal, though, of course, that takes more effort than simply complaining. So expand on that.
Absolutely. Don't just write in a complaint without anything to actually respond to in there. Just saying, are we supposed to listen to this every time superhero? There's nothing to respond to there. There's no criticism for us to either receive and think about and work into the show. There's just nothing. So if you're just going to be critical like that, don't comment. If you want to be critical, comment and actually say something that we can respond to.
So I've been thinking through this idea that are we being too critical because we hated Iron Man 3. You've hated every other superhero movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mostly. Should we try to tone it down a little bit? But then, and this is going to be some repeat of what you and I were talking about off the air. I think there's something good about not just joining in with everybody else, because the mass podcasting, not audience, the mass podcasters do tend to just jump on board and like these different things. So I think it's good to have a different opinion. So
exactly.
You, the counterpoint that you could be looking for could be at a different show, but on this show, sometimes we'll be negative. Sometimes we'll be positive, and sometimes we'll be negative.
And, it's not just mindless ranting from us either. We brought up, I brought up Aristotelian aesthetics last time, which I thought was a very substantive topic. So I approach stories from a theological and philosophical perspective, and you don't have to agree with me, but don't act like it's just mindless ranting, because that really ticks me off when we just get criticism that lacks any substance whatsoever.
Okay, so then Steve did respond to you, and it did legitimately make you sad, because I like this listener, and like I said, we've talked. He says that I agree that many superhero movies are a case of style over substance. So he's on the same page.
Yep, Ben is right.
I just can't be bothered listening to you belabor the point anymore. So yes, I've unsubscribed.
Okay, I mean, fair enough. Like we just said, have we gone heavy on superheroes? Yeah. Have we gone too heavy? Sure. I mean, that's a legitimate criticism that people have said, and Matt and I have talked about it, and we've heard it, and we're working on it. But that's different than what he said first.
Yeah.
And that's what I have a tough time with.
I hate to lose him as a listener.
So do I. Steve, we don't want you to quit listening. I just want you – I mean, look, if I upset you or you felt like I was too strong, I apologize. All I was trying to say was don't just fire off criticism that lacks any substance. If you want to criticize us, by all means, have at it. But actually think through what you want to say. What would you specifically like to see different on the show?
Okay. All right, so I wanted to get the rough stuff out of the way.
Oh, that gets me fired up.
I know. So play some Superbook voicemails, though.
Well, okay, so this is we got a few voicemails this week from Adam, but we're only going to play two of them. I think we'll save the other one for another time.
Okay.
Because we can come back to it. But this is Adam in Kansas, who is both a Catholic and a Superbook aficionado. So, of course, he's going to get played in his entirety. That's the combination, everyone.
Hey, guys. This is Adam from Kansas. I'm the one who wrote in once and was becoming Catholic at the same time as Ben. So, howdy, Catholic brother.
And howdy
anyway,
to you, Adam.
I'm giving a call today about the show where you were talking about five things I'm nostalgic for. And I was surprised that anybody else had ever heard of Superbook. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, I had a comment because when Ben was saying that he had thought that the book would just take them in and transport them, I guess Mist style, he was actually right. So, okay, I'll wait. Play the music.
Your wish is my command.
He requested
Adam.
It.
Yeah.
Ben is right.
I am right.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me, get in line, because it's apology time. Oh, I gotta hit play again. There we go.
Okay, now stop the music, because he was also wrong.
Whoa.
While, and if you actually go into the first season, I got it queued up here. I couldn't find the actual video, but this is the audio at least. So let's see if I can get that to work here. Just a second.
Oh, here it comes.
Is he going to do a little voiceover?
Yeah.
Much the same music.
Hey, add some comments along the way.
This was actually the first season.
What's happening, Adam? I can't see anything. Give it.
I do have to say,
there's nothing happening. It's a, well, I don't know. There's only the audio out there on YouTube.
You try to find it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what's it? What's happening right now with this voicemail?
He's just if you just listen, he's giving us some description of what's going on in the first season. We're going to get to the in-depth analysis in the second email.
Okay, so that was actually the first series, and if you were able to hear that at all, Superbook is actually the thing that has all the power and makes them transform. It's not the keyboard, because that was actually Superbook season two.
And this is where our first voicemail ends. It gets cut off because we do have a 3-minute limit. But we'll play a second one in a second. But I'm actually glad Adam brought this up, because after we did the nostalgia episode, I went and did a little Superbook research, yeah, and I realized, yeah, that was exactly right. That in the first season, so what I played was the second season, mm-hmm, Antar. In the first season, they get sucked into the book directly.
Oh.
So now Adam's going to fill us in on some in-depth news about the Superbook world.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Okay. Your answering machine thinks I talk too long, and it's right. But anyway, this is Adam again. So Superbook is a thing that actually, I guess, has this power to move things around. So in season two, when that lands on the keyboard, it's the book that actually makes the computer make it so that it has its same abilities, I guess. And if you're looking really closely, you'll notice that the two older kids, it actually happens 2 years later, that the two older ones are the only two kids in the first season. And they've, like, grown up now, and it's actually their cousin who gets, I guess, scarily sucked into the computer and goes off on all these adventures looking for the carrier dog. So, anyway, Ben is right, Ben is wrong. I thought you guys might find this interesting, though, too. There's actually a third series called The Flying House, which was made by the same people. And hold on a sec here, because you might notice kind of a theme here. Hold on a second. Same piano riff. We were having fun. Apparently they have a lot of fun. That's their best way to Okay, there's a lot of three kids who basically look the same as the other kids, but they're different kids. And they kind of come and start to go to this busy looking house and go inside. Then they find this rope.
And then that got cut off, so I don't know what else he was going to say. But yeah, I never watched The Flying
Horse. Back?
He never called back? Well, he left a third voicemail on another topic.
Oh, he must have been like, all right, well, I guess I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you never saw The Flying Rope?
The Flying House.
Oh, Flying House.
Yes. No, but what I did learn is that, you know, this was kind of anime style. Remember, we were looking at that. And it actually aired in Japan as well, with different character names, obviously.
Are they for or against it right now in Japan?
I don't know.
I wonder if it's still playing.
I think everyone's probably against Superbook at this point. But I was quite pleased that Adam not only was a Superbook fan as well, but remembered it considerably better than I did. So
let's work, Adam.
Superbook, that's where it's at.
We had a listener from Sweden write in.
All right.
And he donated to the show.
That is awesome.
So this episode and the next episode are brought to you by Magnus. So here's his email. Hi, I found your podcast some months ago and have since then enjoyed many hours of listening. I'm not really much into sci-fi or fantasy and cannot relate to some of the topics, especially when it comes to comics. My favorite episode is 124 about the Genesis, which I found by randomly downloading older ones. I might have to download them all since there's a chance of finding more of the same. Just wanted to let you know I'm listening. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Magnus.
Yeah, kind regards, Magnus from Sweden.
That is awesome.
That is good. Robin from the UK writes in, hello, Ben and Matt. Congratulations on reaching your 150th episode. So what he likes to do is listen to a bunch and then react to them at multiple times.
Yes.
So you might remember Robin is who won your contest.
Yes, yes, yes.
I didn't realize that it had crept up on us already. I think you should do an annual end of the year episode which lists your favorites looking back to the previous list as you did this time. Not a bad idea. Do you follow that?
No.
So in episode 1, we did current favorites and all-time favorites.
Oh, I see.
And in episode 150, we did the same thing. Maybe we should do it in 300.
Yeah.
That way we always space 150 episodes between.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right.
Put it on the calendar.
Now he asks us, you, what was the original Star Trek episode that you had to go back and watch 6 times to get through? No, that was me.
Yeah, that was you.
Oh, okay. I'll answer this question. Sorry. I forgot because he had won your contest and you watched Star Trek for him.
Yes.
The episode I watched was the Almost pilot where I think it was the one with his friend Gary who becomes like a god. That one was kind of boring. Did you ever see that?
I think so.
Okay. I think it's called
Gary.
No, where no man has gone before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No turtle has gone before.
That's the one, Robin. Some of these old episodes can be slow, but you gain more appreciation when you know the links and lore between so many old episodes and the more recent series. I agree with Ben's comments about the superhero films. Oh my gosh, this is perfect timing.
Yeah.
I agree with his comments in episode 160. Dead, just stupid, dumb action with no originality or proper stories. I didn't plan this. This is perfect.
Hey.
As he said, take a decade off, though I'd like to see more Batman films if they're up to Nolan's film standards.
I agree.
Wow. Thanks for the competition prize. I must say I enjoyed it. Looking forward to the Star Trek-themed sci-fi Christian episode, which we had since he wrote this.
Yes.
So... So you had a contest. I think you took off the table because no one was really responding, correct?
That's correct. Because the second round, I might bring it. I'm thinking of ways to modify
it. I think
we
need to make the questions easier.
Yes.
Because we had people going back to the life report and.
Yeah. They were all out there, just needed somebody with determination. And apparently nobody has enough determination to go through the History of Christianity episodes, which I don't blame you for. So I think I've been pondering this,
uh-huh.
And maybe when we are back after the top 50 okay. countdown, we will see about bringing back the contest in a modified form. So
an easier
questions, but also not as good prizes.
Oh, okay.
So I think I offered to watch five episodes. Maybe I'll do like two or three episodes of a show instead.
I have one more piece of listener feedback. Do you have any?
I have an email from Taylor.
How are you getting emails that I didn't get?
Well, I don't know. He sent it to feedback at the Sci-Fi Christian.
All right, go ahead.
Says, hey guys, I love the Superman Symposium episode. I enjoyed Man of Steel for almost the entire movie, but gradually liked it less and less. That's what we thought, Matt. So Taylor is right. I too loved it until all the senseless fighting started, and then I hated it after.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh. Sorry. I wasn't even thinking.
I know. Shoot.
No, don't. You don't need to edit. That's fine. That's fine.
Hold on. I might be able to. How about this? I'm just going to do a really bad edit just so we can get this posted right away.
Yeah.
So what you just heard obviously was a bad edit. So sorry about that.
Yeah. Should I keep going now?
Yeah.
So then he writes a little bit more, and that is also spoilery, so I won't say that. But he says, this is the part I'm going to read here. Is he says, I guess I disagree kind of with why you hate Superman. See, I've always hated Superman. Not because he's the all-good archetype, but because he's never the underdog. He's totally indestructible, all-powerful, always going to win. I mean, Gandalf and Aragorn are perfect examples of all-good archetypes that I absolutely love, but they have to work to do good. They have to try to win and go fight, even when it looks from every angle like they are going to be totally destroyed. Superman, realistically, would never have to try. His story writers go to incredible lengths to make up reasons why he's suddenly the underdog, namely kryptonite, probably the stupidest weakness ever, except possibly the color yellow for Green Lantern, but that at least has a fairly cool explanation behind it. The fact that kryptonite wasn't mentioned once, it was easily my favorite part of the movie, and Zod is probably the only villain that actually could make Superman the underdog. So he says some more, but that's what I really wanted to read, because I think that he is right. Taylor is right.
And finally, in listener feedback.
And then he has a private part to us at the bottom, so remind me to tell you about that when we're off the show.
Okay. RC wrote in and gave me a little bit more marriage advice. And the reason I know we're already done with that episode, but I wanted to ask you if you agree with this. Because okay. We're now, as we record, just over 2 weeks from my wedding day. He says, I wish I had worried less before the wedding. I can't say it's advice, but looking back, I'd like to have relaxed with my wife before the wedding. The month before the wedding was so busy, it wasn't very enjoyable, and only a tad less intense than my wedding day. I honestly can't say I remember much from the month leading to the wedding, other than I know I was working. Anyhow, it might be worthwhile to get out and relax before the wedding. At least in my imagination, I think time would have been better spent relaxing before the wedding. So, now, I don't know if he means like literally before the wedding, like an hour before, or if he means just like leading up to it. What do you think?
Probably leading up to it. I mean, maybe it's good advice. I don't know if he'll be able to follow it or not because there's so much to do.
That's true. I was just thinking, if he means leading up, RC, I just don't know. We have every day starting to be booked nonstop with things to do. Like tomorrow we're meeting with the site that we're having the wedding.
Yeah.
And later this week we have the photographer final meeting. Yeah, I mean, there's just like tons of things going on. She's right now working on centerpiece type
stuff. You relax and let her do what she's got to do.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, that's all I got for today. What do you got?
We are done.
We are done. All right. I'll hit this then.
Okay.
Well, next episode is going to be not related to superheroes.
Yeah.
It's going to be about theology.
No, we're just kidding. It's going to be about
jokes, everything Ben and Matt have not yet said about superheroes, and some that we have.
Yeah.
Just for all you guys who love that superhero talk. It's going to be a superhero-only show from now on.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Ben Anderson.
I am Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians. Signing out.
All right, goodbye.
Also, you can call us at
612-4120 on SFC. Feedback at thescifichristian.com. Goodbye.
So long, folks.